Open up your Bibles. Let's go over to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. And we're going to begin reading just in verse 1 here. Jeremiah 18. He says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was mired in his hand, in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I pronounced turn from their evil, I'll repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build it and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." Now, when Jeremiah is talking here, or hearing from the Lord, God's telling him, this is the things I'm going to do. He goes on in verse 10 here, or verse 11, and he says, "Now therefore, go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way, and make your ways good, and make your ways and your doings good." And they said, "There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart." Now notice here, God is coming to them, to Jeremiah, and he's giving him a picture. He takes him to the potter's house, and he talks about the clay being marred in the potter's hands. And then it says, you know, the potter then began to fashion it the way he wanted it. It was in his hands to do what he wanted to do with that clay. And so God says, this is just a little illustration to show you here, Jeremiah, that you are the clay in my hands, and I can mold you into what I want you to be. But notice here that he goes on then and he talks about the nations, that if he speaks good about one, if they do evil, then he'll repent of the good he was going to do for it. If he speaks evil of one and they repent of the evil, he's going to do good. But notice that he goes on and he talks to the children of Israel, and he says, now, I've got plans because of the way you've behaved. I've got evil planned against you. But if you'll obey my voice, if you'll do what I say to do, then I won't do that evil. And what did they say? We're going to do what we want to do. You know, and so they paid the price for that. So we've got to understand that our acts of obedience shape the outcome of our lives. They do. Our acts of obedience. See, we're put here to obey God and keep His commandments. That's part of the duty of man, is for us to obey Him, keep His commandments. Now, God gave them a chance to turn around, but they chose not to turn around. I'll tell you something, church. The best thing you ever did in your life is repent when you do something wrong. Amen. Ask God to forgive you. Turn that thing around and say, you know what, Lord? I messed up. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace and your mercy to me. I'm going to get on the right track. I'm going to stay on the right track. Amen. Now, you know, here's the thing. Every day is a new day that we can decide how we're going to walk it out with the Lord. Every day. Let me give you a scripture. Go with me over to Lamentations chapter 3. That's one we've not been to in a while. Lamentations. Chapter 3, look at verse 22 here. He says this, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." Notice that. "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good." Now listen. "The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." I love what Lamentations says here. Understand that every day you have a chance, because God looks at us and He says, you know what? Every day is a start over for you. Every day, my compassions, they're going to be new every morning. My mercies never fail. So even if we messed up yesterday, today's a new day. And how we do today, how we obey today, how we live for God today, that's what matters. You know why? Because if we ask God to forgive us, it's thrown to the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again. Yeah, but now, Pastor, you just don't know what I did yesterday. It don't matter what you did yesterday. If you ask God to forgive you, He forgave you, and that's already gone. Come on now. You know, people may try to remind you of what you've done, but the truth is, when God forgives you, He forgets it, and He doesn't remind. Come on now. So I'm going to choose to take the mercy of the Lord, the grace of the Lord, the forgiveness of God, and I'm going to go on. You know, I'm like you all. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, and we all do. But thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His grace. And so, you know, He says that the Lord is good to the soul that seeketh Him. The Lord's good to the soul that the person that's seeking after God, you can expect good from the Lord. Amen. I believe everybody in here is seeking after the Lord. I really believe we're looking to do good. We want to please the Lord, and therefore God will be good to us. Amen. Listen, you'll never fail by doing the things of God, okay? And then notice then, he goes on and he says that we can hope and quietly wait. Hope and quietly wait. See, Jesus is our blessed hope. Notice that. Quietly wait on our salvation is what it says. But here's the thing. If hope is more than, you know, one of those things where, boy, I sure hope that comes to pass. No, hope is a confident expectation. I know that my God is watching over me. I know that God wants only the best for me. He wants me to be blessed. Why? Because He's already blessed me. Come on. I mean, in His eyes, it's already done, but He just wants me to walk in it. You see, and that's the thing. When we're hoping in the Lord and when we're waiting upon the Lord, you know, the Bible teaches us that they that wait upon the Lord are going to renew their strength. You see, there's times that we just wait on the Lord, let God move, and I'm telling you, He's moving right now. I'm telling you, He's moving right now. You just be prepared, because God's getting ready to do some things, and things are getting ready to break loose. Come on, the enemy's fighting hard, but he can't win. Come on now. So I'm just going to wait on the Lord, and I'm just going to let God just be God and watch what He does. I mean, you understand that we can't do anything, but God does it through us. And so when He speaks, that's when we're going to move. That's when we're going to do something. Go over here with me to Romans chapter 7. Let me show you something here. Paul writing here, and Paul starts talking about the battle that we have with the flesh, okay? And so let's look here at Romans chapter 7. We'll start there and read from about verse 18 here. He says this in verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Everybody else, anybody else besides me ever been there, know what he's talking about there? You know, you have the will to do this thing, but then you're struggling, right? You know what's right, but you have a hard time. Come on, somebody. You know, because why? Well, you're fighting your flesh, he says. It's this flesh that we have. And so, you know, here's the thing, what you have to do. You just have to decide, no matter what the flesh wants, you've got to do what the will of the Lord is. You've got to do what you know is right, right? So he says, you know, that's what I'm having a hard time finding. He says, "For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He sounds pretty gloom right now, doesn't he? But now listen to what he says. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind that I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Now, you've got to understand that when the Bible was written down, when King James got the people together, the original Bible had no punctuation, okay? There were no chapters, there were no sentences that were just written out, okay? So now let's just move right into chapter 8 here, because, you know, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law, but with the flesh the law of sin. And it sounds like we're just stuck there. But look at chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Praise God. You know, Paul's got you sounding, it sounds pretty gloom for a little while there, you know. I'm going to do what I don't want to do and not do what I want to do. And it just sounds like that the sin in my flesh is just going to cause me to just continue to mess up. But he gets over here and he says, listen, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have to be that way anymore. We've been set free from that law of sin. Even though we're fighting our flesh, that doesn't have to control us, because we've been given the Spirit of life through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can live a life in the Spirit rather than living our life in the flesh. And see, that's the thing you and I got to realize. Our spirit man on the inside is who we got to let be boss. Come on now, we can't let our flesh. Our flesh will take us in places and do things and cause us all kinds of trouble. We can't allow the flesh to rule us. We have to allow our spirit man to rule us. You see, our spirit man's going to want to do what the Word of God says. Come on. Our spirit man's going to want to do what the Spirit of God says. Our flesh is going to be like the world. Come on, why? Because it's from the world. It's of the world. But this fleshly body does not control us. We have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. He's made our spirits new. And so, therefore, we have the willingness and the want to and the power and the anointing to do the Word of God, because we're Spirit-filled people, tongue-talking, faith-believing children of God. Hallelujah. We got to get excited about that. I don't think we get excited enough to know about who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a spirit person. I don't walk after the flesh. I walk after the Spirit. Therefore, there is no condemnation to me. Did you hear me? You see, then there's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Come on now. So we got to understand, condemnation is when somebody's trying to accuse you, or you're trying to be accused, or even the devil's trying to accuse you. You can look at him and say, I'm devil. I'm a child of God, been blood bought by the blood of Jesus Christ when He died on the cross, went to hell and paid the price for me. Praise God, I received Him as my Savior, and therefore I received new life. Hallelujah. And I have an anointing on my life that will destroy every yoke you try to put on me. But you see, you got to stand up and you got to speak that up out of your spirit. You got to tell the devil and put him in his place and say, I no longer am under your rule. I have a new Lord and a new Savior. And His name is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who died for my sins and rose again into everlasting life so I could live. Hallelujah. See, that's what we're looking to do. You got to understand, that battle of the flesh may be there, but you can shut your flesh up real quick if you'll start talking faith. You start praising God. You start worshiping God. Your flesh has to settle in and shut up. Come on, why? Because I'm letting my spirit man be Lord. I'm letting him be boss, and that's what he is. Now, jump over here to Galatians. You know, he talks us about that. Here he says that we're walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh. So jump over with me to Galatians chapter 5, and Paul talks a little bit more over here and about this faith walk, this walking in the Spirit here. Galatians 5 and 14, let's pick it up right there in 14. It says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Notice that. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. See, he's talking about the spirit and the flesh fighting. And he says, you know, you can't let those bind you up. You have to be led of the Spirit, and you have to walk in the Spirit so that you can overcome that flesh. In verse 19, he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. This is works of the flesh now. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not, everybody say shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Notice that. I mean, man, you go back there and look into some things there, and you can see some, you know, manipulation is the same as witchcraft, right? So we've got to be careful about manipulation, because it says, you know, they that do such things, right? You got the strife there. You've got drunkenness. You've got hatred there. You've got heresies there. See, when you start looking at the works of the flesh, we got to be careful that we don't get caught up in any of that. Why? Because we're spirit people. We're not flesh people. We live and walk in the Spirit. But I like verse 22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So here, Paul's writing again, and he's talking to us. He says, you know, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, when we mess up is when we quit worshiping, when we quit praising, when we let ourselves drift away from God, and we let our flesh take over. Come on. And it's every one of us are very capable of doing that. All you got to do is let your guard down a little bit, and you get yourself in trouble. Can I get an amen from anybody? Come on. Now, that don't mean you go around all the time with your head, but you just always got to be Christ-minded. Always got to be thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ and the thing. She said, I've been moving a little dirt for her today, and this week actually, and I was just running that machine, and I all of a sudden I come to myself, and I found myself thinking on things that I ought not think on. Nothing dirty, nothing like that, but just things that wouldn't glorify God. And I just said to myself, you know what? This is stupid. I just went, I just started praying in tongues, praising God, thanking God, and just stirred myself up and got myself to where I was, even running that thing, I was in the Spirit on a backhoe, okay? Hallelujah. It don't matter, you know, but we've got to be able to walk in that. We've got to be able to do that. We've got to catch ourselves when we allow ourselves to drift away, because you can get in the flesh. Come on. You get in the flesh, you start imagining vain things. Right? Then you're going to have to cast down imaginations, right? And begin to bring those thoughts into captivity to the knowledge of the Lord. And if when you do that, then see, you can start praising God and worshiping God. And I'm going to tell you something. God's hand will be on you, and you can tell it, man. Don't matter where you're at or what you're doing. And so, you know, we walk in the flesh. If we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then, of course, Paul lists the works of the flesh, works of, and the fruit of the Spirit. And then verse 25, I like what he said. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we're always walking this Spirit walk out. Now, here's the thing. God has given us the ability to walk in the Spirit and overcome anything that comes our way. He's given us that ability. Why? Because He doesn't want you and I walking in the flesh. He doesn't want us failing. He doesn't want us here having troubles and going through things. He wants us to have the very best that He has to offer here on this earth. Did you hear me? Because He's got the very best waiting on us when we get to heaven. But that, you know, that is always, you know, you always heard when we all get to heaven, what a glorious time. God wants you to have a glorious time now. He wants you to enjoy this life. He said, I came that you might have life and might have it abundantly. So look here in 1 John chapter 4 with me. Let's read here. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 1 here. He says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Notice this. He says that because that we love God and because we know God. Notice there, he says that we have overcome them. Who have we overcome? Well, we've overcome those that would speak lies. We know the spirit of truth because the greater one is living on the inside of us. You see, when God, if you listen to God, God will tell you when something's a lie or not. Sometimes you just got to listen to him. I'll get back to this thing, but you know, I find God in everything that I do. I don't know about you, and I try to make sure God is in everything I do. Night before last, I got the backhoe died on me up on a place that you couldn't get to, and it wouldn't start back, and I needed to jump it off, and I couldn't get any electric to it to run a booster, and you couldn't get it jumped off of a vehicle, and so I needed to get a booster up there, and so I had to load up a generator in the back of my truck, drive the truck up there so I could plug in the electric booster to get it on there, and I stood there, and I'd charge on the battery, and I'd try to start that thing, and it just sit there and go, rawr. And I was so frustrated because I wanted to get things done, because by now it's getting close to noon and I still haven't got that thing started. And I'm doing this, you know, and all of a sudden it just comes to me. Lord, tell me what to do. Now, I'd already done the Jesus and Jesus' name start. Okay? I'd already done that and I still got a wrong, and that made me mad already. Because that thing should have started when I said, in Jesus' name, start. But I'm still, you know, I'm frustrated. I don't know what else to do except way up on a hill. You can't get it down. And I said, Lord, tell me what to do. So I just got off the thing and I'm going and doing something else. And it just comes to me. Hook the booster straight to the starter. Okay, I'll try that when I get back. Come back up there, take it off the batteries, took it over, put it on the starter. Boom! It was 12:15 before I got to pick up one bucket of dirt. But I know for a fact that the Lord spoke to me. Now, you can say what you want to, but I'd already exhausted me. But it just dawned on me, you know, the pastor. Lord, tell me what to do. And I promise you, he spoke to me. God cares about little things in your life. He cares about everything in your life. And so we have to learn to and know that the Spirit of God. We know the Spirit of God. We know the love of God. God loves us so much. He doesn't want you and I failing. He says that we know we've overcome the false prophets. We've overcome the lies because the love of God is in us. And we know that love. And if we know that love, then we know God. But he says, if we don't know that love and we don't know love, period, he says we don't even know God. And so he's talking here, the way that we walk in the Spirit and the way that we live in the Spirit is by just taking the love of God and absorbing that love and knowing that God loves us. But notice too, then he tells us that we have to love others too. Come on, just like God loves us, we got to love everybody else. Come on, the Bible says, if you can't love your brother who you see, how can you love God who you don't see? And so we've got to learn here. And he says, you know, this we can know the Spirit of truth because of the love of God that's in our life. Now, let me give you Romans 8:33 here, and I'll just read this. It goes right with this. He says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Hallelujah! Aren't you glad that God is love, and there's nothing that can separate you from that love? So you might as well walk in the Spirit, tell your flesh to shut up and say, "I got the love of God on my life, and it don't matter, flesh, what you want. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to live in the Spirit. I'm going to be a spirit being like God wants me to be." Flesh, just shut up. You come. Paul said, "I beat my body and bring it under it." Come on. Sometimes you got to kind of, I'm not talking about hitting yourself. I'm just talking about you become boss. Let your spirit man become boss. Let me give you one more scripture here. In John 16:33, Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." I have overcome the world. See, here's the thing, folks. We're going to have battles in this life. We're going to have battles with our flesh. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, because of the love of God in our life, we can overcome every one of them. Because Jesus has given us the right. He's given us the way. He's given us His name. And there's no reason in this world for us not to be overcomers, for us not to be more than conquerors, just like He said we are, because we have the Spirit of the Greater One living on the inside of us. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Father. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus,